You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Let's go to work. Alongside Myron Metcalf, I'm Joe Fortenball, and we are filling in for Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. The show, as always, is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Myron, it's always a pleasure to be working with you. One thing we were thinking about earlier in the show is the idea of some teams that were in the NFL playoffs last year that could fall off, and some who fell off last year and could rise back to prominence this season. The San Francisco 49ers obviously come to mind. One team that was in the NFC Championship game last year who could very well make another run is the Green Bay Packers. And it's amazing how much time we spent speculating on the future of the Packers and quarterback Aaron Rodgers right up until he got to camp and all sides came to an agreement on how they were going to proceed. And guess what? Since then, I haven't heard a peep out of Green Bay, which could be dangerous for the rest of the NFC.
Yeah, I thought all the Packers fans were done with Aaron Rodgers. I heard they didn't want to see him play, bring on Jordan Love. And then I watched video from training camp, and everyone's cheering like nothing had ever happened. It's funny how that works, Joe.
What do you think could be the long-lasting effect in the locker room? Because the one thing that stood out to me, and maybe it's something, maybe it's not, is that when Rodgers was negotiating with the team, he didn't want any more money. That's not what he was asking for. He was essentially telling the Packers, I want to shorten my deal. I want to be able to get out of here faster. I want to be able to become a free agent after this season. I want to be able to leave. And I'm thinking he got his way. And it's not a surprise. The Packers needed to do whatever they could to make sure one of the best in the business is under center in their colors this season. But ultimately, if you're in that locker room knowing he might be 1 foot, half a foot out the door, do you think that could cause some sort of resentment? File that one away. Keep it in mind, because we're going to go to the Goodyear Hotline right now to welcome in Super Bowl champion and former Green Bay Packer Donald Driver to Barton Hahn. Donald, we appreciate the time. Let me ask you something. Even though you've been away from the game for a few years, this time of year, do you ever get that itch to put the pads back on?
No way. Not at all. You know, I get the experience with my kid every single day, my son. So, no, I don't get that itch to put them back on. I love the game. I watch the game more now than I did when I actually played. So, no, I don't have that itch. Sorry about that.
No, not at all. We appreciate the time. You put together a hell of a career, and you're able to leave it all on the field, which is ultimately what you want to be able to say at the end of the day. You know, as you were watching your former team in the saga that was unfolding throughout the course of the spring and the summer regarding quarterback Aaron Rodgers, was it surprising to you at all that when we got to the nitty-gritty here in late July and August, that he backed off that trade request and that they were able to come to an agreement on working together this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone was excited about that. I mean, when you grow up, and you know, especially the Packer fans, when they grow up and see all the great legends that come there, they don't want anyone to leave. And so I think it was a tough decision that he had to make. But I think the decision was made the right way. Right. I think he came back knowing that he had an opportunity to get to the show, get back to that bowl once again, losing two NFC championship games and then realizing that you still got the weapons that got you there to those games. Why not? Why not come back with one more opportunity and see what happens? And so I'm excited that he's back. I think the entire state of Wisconsin is excited, and all the Packers fans across the country.
Donald, you did some of your best work as Brett Favre was retiring, unretiring, or retiring. In the locker room, if you're there with Aaron Rodgers and all this drama is unfolding, how much do players care, or do they just not notice it at all?
I mean, I think everyone notices it. I just think people have to realize that you only can control you, right? And so I think that's where we've all been in that situation before. And for me, it was a little bit easier because I was like, listen, I don't care who the quarterback is. I got to catch a ball. That's my job, is to catch and run routes. And so I think a lot of those guys in that locker room is realizing that there's their job. Their job is to do whatever their job is consistent. That means running the ball, you run it. If that means tackling, you tackle. So I think it's not one of those things that's out of sight, out of mind, because you saw it happen unfold right in your eyes. But at the end of the day, it all worked out.
Super Bowl champ Donald Driver joining us courtesy of Master Lock via the Goodyear hotline. Donald, do you think Rodgers' fate past this season is already determined? Do you think he knows he wants to play one more year and leave? Do you think he knows he wants to play one more year and find a way to stay? Do you think something could happen this year that changes the opinions of those involved?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I wish we all had a crystal ball to be able to make that decision. But no one knows. I mean, the only person that knows that is him. And so I guess you can say it's the exact same thing that came up to my year, right? When I turned 38 years old, I was in my final year of my contract, and I started thinking, like, do I want to, you know, do I continue to play? Do I retire? And, you know, I knew that it became a business. The Packers wanted to go in a different route to make sure that the younger players got opportunity to play. I was still playing at a high level, and I know that sooner or later it turns into a business, and I'm okay with that. And I think he's going to understand the exact same thing. It turns into a business, and you have to make the decision that's best for you. And I think whenever it falls down to it, he'll make the best decision for him and his family.
Donald, we're probably not going to see Aaron Rodgers in the preseason, but it looks like we will see a lot of Jordan Love. How important will this stretch be, this preseason stretch for Jordan Love, to prove that he can be a quarterback in the future for this team?
You know, I think it just gives him an opportunity to create his own brand, his own platform. I think a lot of people, they wouldn't have drafted him if they didn't feel like he could play. The hardest thing about this game is you have to wait your time. You know, I was drafted in the seventh round. He was drafted in the first round. One thing about the seventh round is that you don't get that opportunity when you first walk in those doors to put those shoes on your feet and go out there and play. But when the opportunity presents itself, you have to make the best of it. And when the opportunity presented for me, I made the best of it in preseason, and that allowed me to, as a seventh-round draft pick, to go on to make that team and then to go on to be the all-time Packer leading receiver franchise history. I mean, what seventh-round draft pick has ever done that? And so when you think about that, Jordan Love now has a platform to be able to show him that this is why you drafted me in the first round to one day, whatever day that may come, is to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Super Bowl champ Donald Driver joining Joe Fortenbaugh and Myron Metcalf here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. When you watch Devontae Adams and everything he's done in Green Bay and beyond, he's got a big contract extension possibly coming up somewhere down the line here. Do you think Devontae is currently the best wide receiver in the NFL?
I would say I love Devontae. I think he's one of the best receivers in the game. I think you can't justify who's the best because it's hard to justify each one's talents, right, and their skill level. I think it's a lot of great receivers. Stephon Diggs is another one. You know, so I think if you go through the scenario of what receiver is the best of the best, it's not going to boil down to stats at the end of the day, because when you're the best receiver in the game, there's teams that know how to contain you. And so you're not able to put up the numbers that you need. But I think Devontae is one of the best receivers in the game today.
Donald, this is one of the top wide receiver draft classes that we've ever seen. Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle and Kyle Pitts and Devontae Smith. What does this generation of wide receivers have that maybe your generation didn't have, and what are they lacking?
You know, I'll say this. The game has completely changed, right? And I think the talent level is exactly the same. I think, you know, guys are much stronger and faster now and quicker and but I think that as far as the skill level, there's so many great former players that built this platform, this opportunity for us so that we can play the game. You know, I grew up watching Jerry Rice, and then I had the players playing against him for many, many years. Chris Carter, you name him, you know, Herman Moore. I mean, the list goes on and on. And then you get the pleasure of playing with the new generation of guys like Odell Beckham and all those guys, and you start realizing that, God, it realizes to tell you how old you are, but then it allows you to know that the talent level gets better and better every single year. And so, you know, the game has changed. The game is all about passing. You know, the receiver group, I think back in our time, we had to work harder to get open because it gave us the pleasure to the DBs. The pulling, the fighting was a little bit different. And so now, you know, it's free. You can run, you know, you can run like a chicken with your head cut off knowing that you can put up those type of numbers. We knew that if you put up 1,000 yards, you knew you were going to the Pro Bowl. And now, guys, you know, you got to put up 13, 14, 1,600 yards to make the Pro Bowl now.
Former NFL wide receiver Donald Driver joining us here on ESPN Radio. Devontae Smith won the Heisman Trophy at Alabama. He's one of those rookie wide receivers that's going to be looking to make an impact in year one. He's with the Philadelphia Eagles. The knock on Smith when he was coming into the NFL was his size. He weighs less than 180 pounds, but he's got speed for days and he's got tremendous instincts. When you're a player playing wide receiver at that size, how much of a disadvantage is that?
Well, I don't know if it's a disadvantage, but I will say this, that I came in the league at 172 pounds. So I was smaller than him, skinny kid from Alcorn State. But what happens is it's all about opportunities, you know, regardless. I mean, he can play the game. It's a proven fact that it doesn't matter how big you are, you can play it. And he's proved that at Alabama, and I think he's going to prove that at Philly, that he can play this game and play it at a high level. I think if he can stay from injuries, then the sky's the limit of what he can accomplish.
Donna, Julio Jones saw every coverage imaginable in Atlanta. Now he's going to a team where opponents are gearing up to stop Derrick Henry, maybe opening up the field for him. How does that change his potential being with Tennessee and what they have there?
I don't think it's going to change anything. I mean, we all know what Julio can do. It's been proven. Again, only thing they can do is try to contain him. But once they let, you know, they open up the cage and let the lion out, he's going to be able to do the things that he knows what he can do. And so I'm excited for him. I think it's a great opportunity for him. I mean, he wants to chase something great. And so now he gets that opportunity. You know, if he continues to play how he's playing, and at the end of the day, he'll be one day what we saw this weekend, he'll be in camp.
Donald, on a more personal note, you're joining us courtesy of Master Lock, who's launching the Community Champions program. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. This is a tremendous program to recognize the individuals as the true unsung heroes that allows us to all now represent those individuals. I mean, as celebrities and athletes, we get recognized for everything we do on a global scale. And so these people that do things that don't even try, they do it out of the kindness of their heart. Those are the individuals that don't get recognized. And so Master Lock and I have partnered together to recognize and reward those people that are making a difference in their communities. And so with that being said, the negative side about this is that, you know, it's the time is winding down. September 1st is the last day that you can nominate. It's due September 1st, so you have to nominate that individual that you may see every single day that's doing things but don't get recognized for what they do. And we want to make that change so that, again, that could be a teacher that goes the extra mile. That can be someone providing food to the homeless. That can be a veteran mentoring at-risk youth, right? I mean, so there's so many things that's out there, but they don't get recognized. And so Master Lock is saying, we want to step up. We want the community to know that we are here to support and we're in involvement. And so Master Lock is giving a grand prize. And so for those individuals that really want to do it, that may be listening to this call, and you see that person that's working every single day to provide for individuals, knowing that they don't want anything in return, nominate that individual. And all you have to do is go to masterlock.com to do that.
Well, Donald, listen, we appreciate everything you're doing in the community, and we very much appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Alex.
Super Bowl champ Donald Driver joining Myron Metcalf and Joe Fortenbaugh here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. That was Donald Driver giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Today's show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests like Donald Driver appear via the Goodyear Hotline. That's interesting what he said. 1,000 yards back in his day, that meant something. That meant you were going to the Pro Bowl. These days, it means it must be week 12 because you got five more games to play, son.
Yeah, that's DeAndre Hopkins at about the midpoint of the season. Things have certainly changed at all positions. But I just love what he said about, you know, this new generation and what he thinks they're capable of doing and how much they took from the past generation when he was playing. And he's hoping that these guys do the same.
From the Green Bay Packers, let's head south to Houston, where after being absent for five consecutive days from practice, quarterback Deshaun Watson returned to Texans training camp and participated in his first padded practice. Houston's going to open their preseason on Saturday. Here's ESPN's Adam Schefter on the latest with Deshaun Watson and his first practice.
While teams around the league continue to wonder if the Texans would be willing to deal him, and as the Texans resist calls and overtures from other teams and decline to take real offers, the drama unfolding Watson continues with the investigation from the Houston Police Department and the NFL surrounding the 22 civil lawsuits that still are pending. There are legal issues that tie into the football issues that just continue one of the unfolding dramas in the NFL. But the latest today, Deshaun Watson, his first padded practice of the summer.
All right, Myron Metcalf, let's start with this. And that was Adam Schefter of ESPN giving us the update on Deshaun Watson. Let's not talk about teams. Let's not talk about big picture. Let's just talk about this. Will Deshaun Watson be playing football come week one of the NFL season?
no chance. There's no chance of that happening. I don't know what the Texans are waiting on, but I don't think they're going to put him on the field. It goes back to availability. I mean, this conversation we've been having, you don't know if he's going to be available for the long haul. You can't put him in a position where maybe he plays week one, two, and three, and then there's a suspension or there's a legal issue. He's not going to play in week one, and I don't see him playing again for the Texans. Now, if there's another team that's interested and they go and make a move for him, Joe, they still have to consider the same challenges. Will he be available? Is this going to be a season that's interrupted? We don't even have this conversation unless he's an elite quarterback. Because Antonio Brown a couple years ago had his drama. He wasn't playing. And a lot of other players in this position, this wouldn't even be a conversation we're having. But because Deshaun Watson is so good, maybe someone takes the risk. But there's just no way he plays in week one because there are just too many unknowns.
I think people are looking at this, trying to figure out why is it so complicated? Why is he at practice and he's not at practice? Why is there this? Why is there that? It's all the legal stuff, the machinations that are happening behind the scenes. The contract. Who's going to be liable if he gets hurt, right? What happens if he comes out, practices, performs? What if they put him in a preseason game? What if they play him in week one and he gets hurt? There's so much they're trying to work through from a contractual standpoint, from a legal standpoint. I think ultimately his time in Houston is done. The only reason he's there, the only reason he's still under the flag is from a legal standpoint. And the only reason he hasn't been traded is because any team that's interested in acquiring him needs to figure out how much are we going to give up for a guy that might not be able to play this year. So let's figure out, A, if you're able to play, and B, what's the appropriate compensation. But I think, are we both in agreement here? His time in Houston is done.
Yeah, he'll never play for the Texans again. And I don't know if he'll play elsewhere this season. I mean, the thing to remember too, Joe, is the NFL investigation is ongoing. So at any moment, there could be a break in this investigation and something could happen with Deshaun Watson's status. I just don't know. If you're the Texans, you certainly can't put him in and assume he's going to be a part of this team or risk affecting his trade value. And if you're another team, how much do you give up, to your point, Joe, for a guy who might not even be available? This seems to me like a situation where you'd be a fool to put Deshaun Watson out there if you were the Texans or anybody else.
I think Philadelphia and Miami are the two teams that are keeping a very close eye on the situation. Maybe not so much with Miami, but just read the tea leaves. Those are two teams that have been getting some contractual situations in order. Miami just reworked the Xavien Howard deal to make him happy at cornerback. Philadelphia's been working some of the contracts. They don't look like big moves, but a lot of times it's a series of small moves in an effort to put yourself in a position to fit that cap number should a trade be able to go down. And this Philadelphia organization has shown us in the past, and I'm not trying to compare the situations, I'm just saying from a risk perspective, they took that risk on Michael Vick way back in the day. Taking a risk here could be something that they'd be interested in. Again, not trying to compare Watson's situation to Vick's, just showing that the Eagles are an organization that's been willing to take risks in the past.
No, they have. And I was actually thinking of Michael Vick, too. The difference is we at least knew Michael Vick was available. He had served his time in prison. He had been reinstated. He was going to play. It's almost like we're on the opposite end with Deshaun Watson. We don't know what's coming for him. And here's the thing about Miami. From a personnel standpoint, yeah, I mean, I don't think people trust Tua right now. So you would think on paper this looks good. If you're Brian Flores, you got to think long and hard. If this is the attention you want, and this is the spotlight you want on that organization. And to me, if you're Brian, obviously in New England, you had a certain protection because of Belichick. You don't have that in Miami, and he's got to be very careful. And I think even if there were potential to get Deshaun Watson, I don't know if you want that to be the narrative at this point in your young coaching career.
If you're Miami and you were, you know, the movie True Lies with Schwarzenegger when they shoot him up with the truth serum and he starts admitting to everything. Then, of course, he breaks the cuffs and he goes nuclear. That's neither here nor there. But if you put that truth serum into the entire Miami organization, how many people are admitting they made a mistake with Tua over Justin Herbert?
About 78% of them. I mean, a lot of guys.
I think that's a bit low, 78%.
There's a lot of guys who would say, we don't know. Because you thought it would be more certain at this point.
Yeah.
You didn't think you'd have questions at this point, and you do.
Especially when Tua comes out after the season and says, yeah, I wasn't as familiar with the playbook as I should have been. You are a top five pick making millions. That should never be something that comes out of your mouth. What you should be saying is, look, I know the playbook really well. I'm working my rear end off. It was just a bit of a struggle transitioning from Alabama to Miami, but don't worry, I'm going to figure it out. It's all good. Like telling people you don't know the playbook, that's the truth serum. Someone has that truth serum in Miami, and he's out there saying a little too much. One other note. if you're playing in an NFL Survivor League this year, are you just picking against Houston and Detroit the whole way and riding back to glory?
You have to. I mean, the Texans, I don't know if they win a game, two games. Detroit,
same
thing.
Think of it like this. Think of it like this. The Jacksonville Jaguars were the worst team in the NFL last season. They have a head coach who's never coached an NFL game in his life. They have a quarterback who's never quarterbacked an NFL game in his life. And they have long been regarded as one of the worst franchises in the NFL. They are going to Houston in week one, and they are laying points as the favorite.
That's amazing. That tells you everything you need to know about how we see Houston.
Oh, my God. All right. That's all brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. One Cowboys great is worried about Dak Prescott. Maybe we all should be, too. That's coming up next. But first, DoorDash is here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? That's 10 bucks off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. He's Myron Metcalf. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. We're in for Barton Hahn. This is ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Alongside Myron Metcalf, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. We're filling in for Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. And with that in mind, it's time for Audio Files.
The Audio Files. The Audio File.
All right, Myron, let's go to work. Hall of Fame wide receiver Michael Irvin on the Doomsday podcast speaking about his concerns regarding the health of quarterback Dak Prescott.
I am a bit concerned that this thing may be a little bit more serious than they're playing on to. I watched Dak today, right, taking snaps, doing his draw. He still used his off arm. Now, that means you use your off arm to throw that ball 2 yards in front of you. If you can't crank up 2 yards right now, why am I to believe in, you know, 2-3 weeks you can get up 60 yards? I'm a bit concerned.
That audio courtesy of the Doomsday podcast. Myron, you're a Cowboys fan. How do you feel about Dak Prescott?
Well, I mean, it makes a sense, I think, to be concerned, right? Especially after him coming off a major injury and now he's doing some light throwing after dealing with the shoulder thing. But I think everything is just about being cautious. I think Dak will be okay. I think this is about what he's coming from in the injury situation and people just being really sensitive about this. But I also think that he's going to be out there at week one and he'll be good to go. I think he's just doing what he should do, which is being smart and not putting himself in a situation to make things worse.
The Cowboys are not runaway favorites to win the NFC East, which means they don't have a large margin for error. They have to win in the margins, and they're going to need a healthy Prescott this season. You got to remember something. There are certain teams where the quarterback play can be a little iffy at times because there's an elite defense that can bail the quarterback out, or there's exceptional coaching that can put the team in a position to make the one big play late in order to get the job done. Dallas has neither of those things. Dallas does not have an elite defense. They might be better this year, but they're not elite. Dallas does not have fantastic head coaching in Mike McCarthy. It's not terrible head coaching, but his question making and his decision making in key times leaves something to be desired. Even with a healthy Prescott last year, the Cowboys were 2-3 and got lucky in the win over Atlanta. If they are going to have success this season, they're going to need Prescott to be healthy week in and week out, and for this latch string to be nothing more than a blip on the radar in the preseason. Speaking of the preseason, let's turn our attention to the defending Super Bowl champs, where head coach Bruce Arians is not happy with how bad the offense looked yesterday at practice.
Probably the worst offensive practice we've had in 3 years. Kind of a pattern of behavior now. After a day off, our offense just stinks.
What do you as a coach do to kind of get to reverse that, to lead the reverse of that trend?
Well, back in the day, we'd be out here running the shit out of them, but it don't work anymore. Go to jail for that stuff now. They just got to grow up and man up. I mean, it's been identified, so you got to fix it.
Myron, I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds like Arians is calling Tom Brady washed. Do you believe that to be the case?
Sounds just like it. I mean, this is why he won a Super Bowl. He's trying to make them forget about what happened last season and get back into the attitude they had last summer before they won it. But everybody knows that a sloppy offensive day for the Bucs is a great offensive day for most teams. I mean, you had Tom Brady playing with an MCL tear, apparently. You had all these variables. They hadn't played together before. This team is going to be okay. And then here's the danger for the rest of the league. They're going to come into the season going 100 miles an hour, which they didn't do last year. There was a lot to figure out in weeks 1-8. This is going to be a great offense again. Bruce Arians is doing what Super Bowl winning coaches do. He's trying to humble his guys. Forget about the ring. You're not as good as you think you are. But that's why he's one of the best coaches in the NFL, because those are the messages you want to deliver.
He's pushing buttons, and he knows he's got to push the key buttons at the right times in order to get this team to perform at the level it's capable of performing at. And what we saw last season is that's a level in which you can win a Super Bowl trophy. He did this last year with Brady. Remember early in the season when he was kind of pushing Brady, talking about I wasn't sure what he was doing out there, taking some shots where you thought, man, there could be a trouble in paradise. No, he knows how to push the right buttons. He knows from Tom's time in New England that you can push Brady and he responds. He doesn't wilt, he responds. And he's pushing the team right now as he needs to do. Remember something, to your point, Tampa Bay was 7-5 through their opening 12 games last season. They went on the bye, they regrouped, they came back to win 8 straight, 4 in the regular season, 4 in the playoffs, and they decimated everything that was in their way. If they start fast this year, look out. No one in that division is going to be able to catch them. To the NBA we go. Carmelo Anthony, the newest member of the Los Angeles Lakers, spoke recently on his discussions with LeBron James when it came to becoming a Laker.
LeBron came to me one time and just said, yo, the time is now. Like, I want you. We got to make this happen. And, you know, I took that information and took that, you know, that dialogue and took my time with it and, you know, weighed all the options that I was weighing at that time. And, you know, I just felt like for right now, I think this was the best time.
Alongside Myron Metcalf, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. So you heard from Carmelo Anthony. Do you think there was any other option out there that came close to playing with LeBron in L.A.?
No, I mean, is there a bad time to go to L.A.? You know, I think it's always a good time. And it's even better if you're going there to play next to LeBron James. I mean, if you're Carmelo Anthony, you probably maybe had some other options, but you know that a healthy Lakers team, especially adding Westbrook, that they're going to be in contention. They're going to have a chance to go and win another ring. So he's in a good spot. And he wants to be in a place where he can be sort of the limited athlete that he is at this point in his career, but he's efficient and he's effective. Give him 15, 16, 17 minutes. Let him do what he does best and let him go get a ring.
Lakers did a very nice job getting Anthony and Malik Monk for cheap. Malik Monk's deal is like $1.7 million because they needed 3-point shooting. One thing to keep in mind, however, Malik Monk and Carmelo Anthony are both coming off career seasons when it comes to 3-point shooting. Now, Monk is young. He may just be developing and getting better, but Anthony, to have that kind of season late in his career, you have to wonder, is that the exception to the rule, or is that now the rule? Because if it's now the rule, great deal. If not, you're not going to want him bombing a ton of threes because that could still be an issue for the Lakers. But the Malik Monk deal is going to go down as one of the best of the offseason. $1.7 million. Considering Luka just got $41 million a year. I'm not saying Malik's Luka, but is Luka 40 times the human being that Malik Monk is, if you do the math? All right, let's stick with Carmelo and the Lakers. Carmelo went on to talk about those age concerns that everyone's been bringing up time to time about the purple and gold.
Different time, different game, more resources than guys had years ago when we first came into the game. I think just the concept and the seriousness behind taking care of yourself, like we really understand what that means from a holistic standpoint, the mind, body, and soul. Like we are there at that point of our career where, you know, we understand the importance of what it means to take care of your body, what it means to take care of your mind. And in this situation, experience comes into play, understanding one another, you know, whereas if all of us would have came together early on in our career, we probably wouldn't have had the same understanding as we're going to have right now. I think we're all ready to just take on whatever role that is that all of us need to do and need to take on in order to reach that ultimate goal, which we all know what that is at this point.
Seems like only 10 years ago when a professional athlete in any sport hit 30 years of age, we started talking about them being on the back nine of their career. Now a guy's 36, 37, and you're thinking to yourself, he's got 4 or 5 years left minimum.
I mean, we're all pretty sure that Tom Brady is going to win another Super Bowl at 58 years old, right? And here's the other thing about what Carmelo Anthony just said. I watched a lot of 90s basketball as a kid. I never once heard Charles Barkley use the word holistic. So I do think this is a different generation of athlete, right? And here's the problem to me with this Lakers team, and if you want to look at the fact that the average age is 32.8 or something like that. What if this is Anthony Davis's team at 28 years old, going into the prime of his career, and he's surrounded by Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James and Malik Monk and Russell Westbrook? Then you have a little different look on it, because you can't just say these guys are old and ignore Anthony Davis, who might be going in the best stretch of his whole career. This Lakers team is still going to be very good.
Yeah, I look back at the Bad Boy Pistons, and I don't think that hydration was the number one thing on their to-do list each and every
morning. Not water, at least.
He's Byron Metcalf. I'm Joe Fornball. Audio files brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. Woo, baby! The first college football coaches poll of the season was released earlier today, and as I'm sure many of you could imagine, chaos has ensued. Alongside Myron Metcalf, I'm Joe Fornball. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
All the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Alongside Myron Metcalf, I'm Joe Fortenball. We are filling in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. And right now we are taking a look at the freshly released coaches poll for the 2021 upcoming collegiate football season. Myron, no surprises with the top four. It's the usual suspects: Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Oklahoma 3, and Ohio State 4. First question out of the chute: do you agree with the way they're ranked? And then the follow-up to that, who's most likely to crack that top four? Because we're seeing these guys each and every year, it feels like.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, that is kind of what it is, right? You anticipate those teams always being in the mix. And I agree. I mean, Alabama just finds a way, no matter who they're putting it at quarterback. And certainly the sponsors believe in Bryce Young, who already is making, I think, 800K. And he's got a million more in side deals that he has yet to kind of approve. I think Spencer Rattler's the guy, though, where you look at and go, okay, they're either going to go or fall with him. Like, this is a team that has to prove in Oklahoma that they can compete with the top SEC teams. Went out and got a bunch of transfers, three guys from Tennessee, another Arkansas wide receiver, I believe. Lincoln Riley has to do it, right? And Spencer Rattler, there's going to be a lot of pressure on his shoulders, whereas I think the other teams in the top four have kind of been there, done that. DJ Uiagalelei, I hope I didn't mess up his name at Clemson,
did.
Obviously.
You absolutely got that.
I killed his name, and I didn't mean to. But we know what he can do already during that stretch where Trevor Lawrence was out. So I think that's a great top four, and we'll see who breaks the top five.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei, yeah.
Yeah, Marty Smith.
I just call him
so
good.
Well.
Yeah. I just call him good. He's just good.
Alabama at one, if there were some weaknesses, it would be in the fact that they lost half their starters from last season to the NFL. But as you know, with the Crimson Tide, they don't rebuild. They reload. They've been through this before. Clemson at two, week one, neutral site game against Georgia. They're laying 3.5 or 4. I would be betting the Bulldogs there plus the points. I'd be betting the Bulldogs on the money line. I think they're going to shock Clemson in the first week of the season. Look at what Georgia did last season between the six games they played without JT Daniels, where they went 4-2 and averaged about 29 points per game, and then the four games with JT Daniels, where they went 4-0 and averaged about 37 points per game. That's the difference. JT Daniels could be the guy to put him over the top. I have a hard, fast rule when it comes to Oklahoma, namely that they'll never win in the playoff and they'll never, be worth betting on in the championship game. But I got to tell you, this year, they got me thinking different. 75% of the returning starters are back. Alex Grinch, as defensive coordinator, has done a tremendous job with this program. They have a legit defense there. And last season, they got better and better as the year went on with Spencer Rattler at quarterback. They got Iowa State at home, which is huge. They don't have to play any big games on the road. They don't have to worry about a tough non-conference schedule. I think Western Carolina's in there, as is an easy layup from Louisiana at some point. Not LSU, obviously. And they're going to host Nebraska, so there's a lot of opportunity. What do you think about the Fighting Irish at 7 with Notre Dame? That feels a little high considering how much they lost from last year.
I think they were 123rd out of 127 teams in terms of returning production. So no one's coming back. I mean, they are kind of building from scratch. But I think you give credit to Brian Kelly and that staff, and you assume, again, that they hit the reboot button as well as anybody, and that the talent will be there. But I think that is a little high. And I think if there were another team that had lost that much and they weren't named Notre Dame, I don't think they would be a top 10 team at all.
Jack Cohn is transferring from Wisconsin. He was the quarterback there who lost his job to Graham Mertz, who played fantastic in that first game of the season against Illinois and then never looked back. Cohn's more of a game manager, so he's going to need a big rushing attack. They lost 144 career starts off their offensive line. The secondary's got some questions. When you look at the schedule, they got a neutral game against Wisconsin early in the season. They're going to host Cincinnati, who's ranked in the top 10 right now. And then they've also got to worry about a very difficult back-to-back at home, where they're going to host Keaton Slovis in USC, who finds themselves at 14 on the coaches poll. And then in addition to that, the next week they're going to host North Carolina. The trick there is that North Carolina's on the bye the previous week, so they get 2 weeks to get ready for the Irish. Look out for that game. I play the under on Notre Dame's win total. The U at 16. Texas, are they back at 19? It's a question we got to ask this time every year. Is Texas back?
We'll see. I mean, you know, Steve Sarkisian is trying to do what so many others before him couldn't do. I'll tell you who's here. Matt Campbell's Iowa State team. Watch out for that squad. Breece Hall coming back, leading the nation in rushing. Brock Purdy, year four. That team could have a lot of upsets this year, and they could be right in the mix in the playoff.
Absolutely. Toughest game on the schedule. They open the season with Iowa, which is never easy. They tend to stumble out of the gates, and then later in the season they will be in Norman to take on the Sooners. But if they can navigate that, you can find them maybe 35-1 to win the national title. You get yourself into the college football playoff.
Love it.
You could be in good shape. Quickly, at 25, old Lane Kiffin finding his way with the Ole Miss Rebels into the Coaches Poll top 25.
Lost 30 pounds. He's ready to go.
He lost 30 pounds. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure working with all you guys today. Miss any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast available wherever you listen to podcasts. Alongside Myron Metcalf, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. It's ESPN Radio.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.